Welcome back to the Foxy Property Chat podcast. In this episode of the podcast, we're doing something a little different. Tori Toth recently travelled from the USA to Australia for the Australian Home Staging Conference that was in late February. While she was here, she visited the Foxy Home Staging Warehouse. If you missed it, Tori presented on how to integrate video into your marketing plan. Now, after a little warehouse tour, she sat down and interviewed Jake on the beginnings of Foxy and much more. Now, I put the transcript into ChatGPT, so let's give it a go and how it summarised the topics. The topics were the origins of Foxy Home Staging, from corporate finance and cancer care to launching a home staging empire, growth trajectory, scaling to 100 plus installs a year, and the pivotal decisions along the way. Marketing mastery, leveraging authentic content to connect with clients and build a brand, team and culture, cultivating a workplace where passion, empathy and hard work drive success, and overcoming challenges, adapting to logistical hurdles and the importance of community in industry growth. I think ChatGPT did a pretty good job there. So thank you to Tori for speaking at the conference and chatting to Jake. Links in the podcast description to where you can find Tori on Instagram, YouTube and Facebook. Last thing I'll mention very quickly is that the audio in this podcast isn't the best. It's probably like 80 to 90% out of 100. It was just with my iPhone, straight to my iPhone. Tori did record on her audio, but I wasn't able to grab those off her. To be fair, I didn't actually ask. I just used ours. So yeah, it's definitely still worth a listen, and I hope you enjoy.
Okay, so we are here at Foxy Home Staging's warehouse. Yes. Tell us a little bit about how you got started in this business.
So we started the business about just under 7 years ago, so we're getting close to that 7 year mark. Phoebe's background is in cancer care, so she's very much a people person. She loved what she did. And my background is corporate finance. I was in a desk job, I'm a big numbers guy, Excel modeling, all that sort of stuff. When we had our second baby, Phoebe was on 12 month leave for that. And she loved what she did, but she didn't love the environment, the people. It's a government sort of role, so there's a lot of things about it that she didn't love. And so while she was on leave, and at the same time, we did a little bit of a renovation sort of project with a friend of ours. So we bought an old rundown house, redid it, and we actually used the staging company to help us sell. And she was very involved in that, in not just that part, but the design side as well, and she loved it. So it was this idea in the back of her mind that she would love to give that a go one day. So while she's on leave, she's looking at the countdown, the timer when she had to go back to work, and she's thinking, I don't really want to. So I backed her. We always thought we'd like to run a business one day. Mm-hmm. And we said, why don't you give it a go? You've got a little bit of time before you have to go back to your job. And I don't know, 2 months into that, she was enjoying it. It was a hard slog at the start getting that first handful of jobs, but she loved it. The first couple that she did. And we, by the time I got around to her making a decision, we'd seen enough that we could make it work, and we dove all in.
So what's been, what's been your success to be able to scale to the heights that you are now? Because you've been in business for how long? And then talk a little bit about how many projects you have out at any given time.
So nearly 7 years. We do about a little over 1,000 installs of properties per year. So in terms of how many we have out at any one given time, around 175, 180 houses is kind of where our capacity sits. And we're very close to that right now. So during the very busy times, that's kind of where we hit. How we've got here, I guess, obviously there's a whole lot of things that go into it.
Yeah.
Marketing has been a huge thing for us. So we, very early on, I think 2 years in, we were doing, same as almost any business owner, you know, you should do some social media marketing, you should do some videos. We knew that. Phoebe and I tried to do that. And then you got busy and you forgot, or you ran out of time and you just didn't. So we brought in somebody full time, my brother Cody, as our marketing manager 5 years ago. And since that time, he's put out a weekly video. We've done pictures and reels, and we've done podcasts at times, and we've tried to do as much content creation as we can. And honestly, we now have agents come to us, and we have for a couple of years, because they like us as a team. They feel like they like our vibe, they know us. Mm-hmm. I'd say our approach to marketing also, so we are probably a little bit different than a lot of companies. You know, staging is all about the finished product. And if you look through a whole bunch of other stages, Instagram pages, for instance, it's a whole lot of pretty photos, it's a lot of beautiful videos, and it's very nice. But for somebody like myself, who I'm not the design person, I'm not that way inclined. I don't get involved in any of the actual staging itself. I looked at it and I couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah.
To me, it was all the same and it didn't really stand out. And I kind of take the approach that a lot of agents are potentially like that as well. So our marketing is a lot of behind the scenes. It's very real. It's, you know, it's not edited so much. Cody, when he's doing our stories, will get his camera up without any warning and ask us some questions. And Phoebe and I just have to, you know, kind of talk about what's going on. So it's not scripted. And I feel like that gives people an insight into who we are. So yeah, marketing, and honestly a lot of hard work. It's, you know, we even made, I don't know how many phone calls with a lot of no's and a lot of rejections at the start. And it's a slow sort of thing. And once you get a little bit of momentum, you keep building on that momentum. Yeah. And it's slow. It's be patient and be consistent.
Well, and I love that you use video.
Yes.
In order to market your business. That's how we met on
That's
YouTube.
True, yes.
I don't know.
A few years ago now.
Almost probably. A decade ago, probably.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
We're getting there. And it is really important. I think home stagers definitely need to start using that type of tool in their arsenal and showing the behind the scenes, because I think that's super important as well. People don't know what they're paying for.
Yeah.
And it's, you need to show them the process, show them why it does cost what it does, show them everything that goes on behind the scenes, because it's a lot of work.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a few things now that you said that I think are relevant, and it's also thinking about who's watching your videos and who your marketing is for. If it's for the home seller, it's exactly that. It's showing what goes into it. It's showing how it comes together. It's giving them a little bit of context and explanation about what it is that you do. If it's for agents, and you're trying to, you know, get agents to come to you who will give you that referral work, then it's also showing who you are, because then they feel like they can connect with you, they can rely on you. And honestly, just having that, you know, somebody walks in the door and they've seen a lot of your videos and see how you answer questions and how you respond to issues or difficulties.
Yeah.
I think that goes a long way to building a relationship. And if all you show is the finished product and you miss out on some of that other stuff behind the scenes, it's hard to build that same connection, I think. So,
I agree. And everybody is always looking to have that human connection.
Yeah.
With the people behind the scenes in the company.
People buy from people. Yeah.
Yes. No? Exactly. So, all right. So hard work, marketing, obviously are keys to some of your success. Mm-hmm. How do you manage all the logistics of that? Because what does that look like on a day-to-day basis? The type of crew you have, how many installs and destages you're doing?
I mean, at the moment, at this point, and we were talking before we hit record that for Phoebe and I running the business, this is more now of a logistics challenge than anything else. Mm-hmm. We're doing, on average, 5 installs and 5 pack-ups a day. Some days it's like today, we've got 8 installs, and I think we've got a day later in the week with 9. So some of those days, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. And to make that happen, we have 3 trucks, we have multiple other cars and vehicles, we've got a team of logistics and stylists. We've got a whole lot of admin, so all of the paperwork that has to go out for that many jobs, organizing access, the timing of photos, there's so many things that go into how our days run, that's where most of Phoebe and my time is spent. It comes down to having a great team, having really, really good processes and making it clear what the processes are, so everybody in our team knows what's expected of them. It's about having, you know, people who are trained and know how to solve problems to some degree, and depending on what the problem is, Phoebe and I don't even need to hear about it. So, I mean, so much of this comes into, you know, having people. So Phoebe starts the process with her draft schedule and organising it all. We have 2 or 3 other people involved in setting up, making sure we have all the access confirmed, all the communication with the clients, and then I get involved at the end with other timing related things, allocating people. It's a whole process. But it's one we've been doing for a while, so it's this, I guess, machine that goes through the motions every day, but because we've been doing it for a while, it works.
And you said you have a team, including you guys, a team of about 30 at this point. That's a lot of people to manage. So are you looking for specific skills or personalities? Because a lot can happen with 30 people.
Yeah, and this has been something that we've learned over time, and we still don't always get it right. But the number one thing for us has been we always hire for team fit, team culture. Mm-hmm. And that, for us, means we hire for the things that I can't teach. So that the person either has it or they don't. Things like passion, hard work, work ethic, empathy, just a really good, I guess, somebody who can take accountability, who is proud of their work, all of those sort of things. So when we're hiring, our entire recruitment process is kind of themed or based around those things. So we're trying to get a gut feel for the person. We try to have interaction as much as we can. We get them in for a trial, so they spend the day with our team and we get their input on whether they think they would fit in as well. And then on the other side of that, if we get it wrong, which we still do, we make quick decisions when we need to let somebody out of our team, when we need to let somebody go, because we've now spent some time with them, they've spent time in our business. If we know they're not the right fit, we try and make very fast decisions to get them out. So we always protect the team culture that we have.
So let's talk a little bit about making that jump from, because were you guys solopreneurs essentially in the beginning?
Yeah.
And making that jump to the first truck, to the first, you know, what did that look like for you guys?
Yeah, so I mean, there's these inflection points or decision points in a business where it's not just a little bit more, it's we need to change something more significant. I guess there's been the first couple of hires, like the first few people you bring always feel like they are a big deal. They're a big decision and a big commitment. Some of those ones for us were easier, and I know it's not for everybody. So we hired our first stylist full-time 2 months in, and we hired another one 2 months later because we knew what we wanted our business to look like. And we need to get there, we were going to need those people to help free up time for Phoebe in particular to go and build the business, to build the relationships.
Yeah.
There's things like when we moved into our first warehouse, that was like a lot of people in this industry, we started out in our garage, we started out with these little storage sheds. Mm-hmm. And there was a point where it became a little bit, it wasn't that it was unmanageable, but it made things difficult, inefficient, slow.
Yeah. So things were just all over the place.
Yeah, and trying to organize that stuff took a lot longer than it should have. So the decision to go to the first warehouse and then eventually moving to a bigger warehouse, those were big decisions. I think even the trucks, you know, bringing logistics in-house is a big decision for a lot of people because it's such a big cost. It's a big cost for the truck, but then you need people to run it, so you're committing to full-time people probably. All of those ones for us, they were difficult decisions as much as they are for anybody.
Yeah.
I think what made it a little bit easier for us to commit to those things was we knew what we wanted to build and we knew that we needed those things to get there. So it was more of a timing thing as opposed to is it the right move or not, is it the right move now? And some of those decisions were forced on us in the sense that, so for our first truck, for instance, we used an external company like most people do, and it got to a point that he may as well have been part of our business. He was here every day with his team. It got to the point where he actually didn't want to do it anymore from a business point of view. He liked what he did, but he didn't want to do all the admin, the business, you know, the business development, all of that stuff. So it was either we bring him into our business full time or he shuts his business down and we have to go and find somebody else. So we weren't ready to bring a logistics team in-house, but if we didn't, we were going to lose that valuable asset that we had. So we did it.
Yeah.
And I think Phoebe would agree with me. There's been a number of those times in our kind of business journey that decisions were brought to us and we had to make a decision before we otherwise might have liked to, but every time we jumped in because we knew what we were trying to build.
Yeah, that's important to have the plan in place and to see like where your goal is going.
Yeah.
Are there any challenges that you're facing right now in your business that, you know, could help other people out there watching this?
Every time I've been asked, because we kind of do some of these self-reflection things every year as well, on what the biggest challenges were. The first one that always comes up is people. Managing a team of any size is difficult, bringing people into your business. And I mean, there'd be a number of conversations that I've had with other business owners in this industry and outside the industry who have a hard time letting go of what they're doing because nobody's ever going to care as much as you are about that job or do it the same way you would,
yeah.
And having a hard time being okay with it being done a little bit differently or a little bit or done in a different way or the outcome being a little bit different, that's a hard thing. And we've struggled with that a little bit as well. Now that we've got a team of 30, it's more about that managing the team culture, making sure that we're protecting what we've built when we bring new people in, making sure that we're bringing the right, not just the new people, but also the people who are here who are showing a lot of potential, who are integral to our business, giving them potential to move forward with their careers and being more, given more leadership, more responsibility, and helping them get there, because we're not the only ones growing as leaders, so are people in our business.
Yeah.
So people's always a challenge. Even when it's going well, it's never something where you reach a point and you're like, great, I've done it, my team's great. It never stays that way.
As soon as that happens, just wait for the other shoe to drop, basically.
Exactly right. Something happens. It always happens.
But the funniest thing to you, like when most teachers get into the business, they're like, oh, you know, I just want to be creative. I just want to, you know, stage houses. And they don't realize all the other back-end stuff that you're dealing with in order to have a successful company. Talk about the market here. So I know in the U.S., a lot of places, it's still about educating.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like you've passed that.
I feel like we're beyond that a little bit. There's always an element of that, especially educating the client, the home seller themselves. In terms of where our work comes from, probably 75-ish%, so 75% of all the work we do generally comes from agent referrals or recommendations. When we started the business, I think we timed it accidentally. We timed it well because the market in Brisbane was growing. Home staging was becoming more recognised, but there was still a lot of education, especially with agents. So a lot of agents didn't necessarily understand the value or how it fit in and how they could benefit from it themselves. Mm-hmm. Now it's less about the agents. I think the agents understand what it is and how those that we work with tend to recommend staging for all of their work. There are still agents who don't because they're, for whatever reason, different markets or demographics or lower price points or a range of reasons that they don't, but those that we work with do. Now it's about educating the seller themselves. So if an agent recommends somebody to us, they might not have ever heard of home staging. They might not have ever had a reason to come across it if they've never sold or haven't sold recently. So there's still a little bit of that, and I think that feeds into how we do our consultations. It feeds into the conversations we have in the lead up to it to explain what it is we do and how it fits in and where the value lies. But it's definitely something that's come a long way in a reasonably short space of time.
Do you give agents like specific marketing materials to try and help them understand, educate their clients or anything like that you've seen that works?
Yeah, we do. It's probably on a, each situation is different. So it's not like we have a blanket, we do this across all of our agents. It's more some agents like having, you know, some brochures with some stuff that they can show or hand. A lot of them have a pre-listing pack of information that they will give to their sellers. So some of them like to have our brochures in that. Some are very clear about wanting us to be on site for their first or their second kind of on-site meeting with the client, so that they're at the same time as the agent and we're kind of showing up as part of the team. And that we find that works really well because it gives us credibility because we've got somebody with, you know, an authority position, the agent, talking about how important staging is and having us there, so that combination tends to work well. We've put together a couple of things over the years, and we've got a recent one, like a booklet that we put together of a lot of our stats and some case studies and that sort of thing. And we have certain agents that love having those just on like their counter and their office for those that still have, you know, client facing offices. I think, to be honest though, the vast majority of what we put out that the agents like is through our social media marketing. It's Instagram and Facebook reels and pictures. It's our YouTube weekly stuff. It's all of that.
The video saying, here, look, this is what happens.
Yeah, it's showing us, and then there's videos showing the property, the work that we've done, and it's showing the results, the case studies. It's all of those things combined. Mm-hmm.
So do you have more competition in the area, or is it more collaboration?
It is definitely not collaborative. I wouldn't say that that's in the Brisbane market. Yeah. That's probably not how I would describe it. Not a blanket rule. There's definitely people who are willing to share and help each other out. We've always had the approach that we believe there's enough work for everybody. So we are happy to answer questions. We show behind the scenes. None of it's secret. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, the majority of Brisbane, at least, is not probably on the same page. They'd rather kind of do their own thing, which is fine. Everyone's different. I'd say within Australia, most people within there, it's funny because from what we can see when we say stuff like that, most people in Australia, in Sydney or Melbourne and other places, agree that that's what it's like in their market. But when we start to talk to other people from other cities and we don't feel like we're direct competitors, it's the exact opposite. Everybody's collaborative, everybody's willing to talk and answer questions and help each other. So I think it's a little bit of both depending on the situation and the kind of whether you're seen as competition or not.
Yeah, depending on who you're talking to.
Exactly, yes.
So speaking of which, we just finished an event that you guys put together, the Australian Home Staging Conference, mm-hmm. which turned out amazing. What inspired you to do that?
We had the idea for a long time. So part of our, I guess, marketing and the reason we go through with, so like committing to full-time people in our team and putting out all the content we do is we want to get ourselves out there. We like to be seen as thought leaders or as having a voice in the industry. And Phoebe and I and Cody, we tend to go to a couple of conferences a year, whether they're real estate specific or just entrepreneurial business type things. And we've thought for a long time that Australia doesn't have one of those. Somebody should do it, maybe we should do it. And we thought about it for a number of years. And we came back from a conference last year in the US, VCon, and I think we decided it was time. And when the three of us kind of said, should we do it? We should do it. We just went, let's put an announcement out.
Yeah,
and
happens.
So I think once we committed and we put it out, they were like, well, now we're on hook, we have to do it. So we believe that we should bring, people should be coming together in an industry like ours. We should be sharing, we should be collaborative, all of those things. And the fact that we didn't have one in Australia was a shame for a number of years. So if somebody was going to do it, we thought we may as well be the people.
Yeah, and you ended up having how many people?
We had 130, yeah. Or about 130 people across the 2 days, all up here in Brisbane at the Ridges in South Bank, which was amazing. And we tried to come at it from a business ownership mindset. So mm-hmm. as opposed to tactical, here's how you do this type of staging, or here's how you hands-on sort of stuff. It was more the ownership of a staging business. So
yes.
Leadership, building teams, mindset, all of those sort of things that come with owning a business and running a team, those were kind of the themes that we were trying to tackle.
Which I think is important too, because we all know how to make beds and do things like that. It's the actual management of the teams,
yeah.
and of the business.
Exactly, and like you said before, a lot of people come into this industry because of the design side.
Mm-hmm.
They have a passion for interiors, or they love the idea of being in houses and making them look beautiful. But then they get in the industry and they realize, I'm actually running a business. There's all this other stuff that I had no idea about, I'm not interested in, and I'm not very good at.
Yeah.
And that's so many people that have fallen into these sort of roles. So we wanted to tackle largely that other stuff. And things like high energy, getting some people in that could talk about mindset, like, personally, that's the sort of stuff I want to hear, given where we're at in our stage of kind of our business journey. And so selfishly, I wanted to get some speakers in that could talk to a lot of that. That's what we did.
Yeah, and it turned out amazing. And you'll be doing it again?
We are doing it again, yes. Suckers for punishment. No, it was fantastic. I mean, everything, I can't think of anything that didn't go the way we had hoped it would.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some fantastic feedback it was overwhelmingly positive. We've got some things that maybe we would tweak a little bit next year, which is understandable. There's some things like we always want to be saying, well, it was great, but if you could change one or two things, what would they be? And we've got a little bit of that sort of feedback, but we have committed, we're doing it again this time next year. So 2025 it'll be at the Gold Coast, so close, still in Queensland. Beautiful holiday spot though, so
yes.
If those want to extend their stays, that's what a great idea.
I'm already thinking about it.
Yes, we're looking already. Phoebe was on the phone earlier already, so 2 days after the event, speaking to a potential location
mm-hmm.
or venue for next year already. So we're already looking at what we can do.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me and for allowing me to come and share my expertise to stagers here in Australia. It's a super amazing event. I think if you guys could swing it, definitely come. And if you're in this part of the world, you definitely need to venture there next year as well. For people that want to know more about you, where should they go?
So Voxy Home Staging, that's across all the social media platforms. Mm-hmm. We're very visible on some and less so on others, but Instagram, Facebook are probably the ones that we use a lot of.
Yeah.
And obviously YouTube, which yourself as well knows how important that platform is. So we try and put regular content on all those things. And yeah, we're an open book. We like to answer questions. We love when people reach out to us, and we love people visiting us, which is awesome that you were here. We've had a number of people from the conference while they're in town come and see us, and we love that sort of stuff. So Foxy Homestays, and Wet Farmers.
Yeah, so make sure you guys follow them right here on YouTube and on all the other social channels. All the information will be down below. Thank you so much for having me
here. Thank you. And I just want to say thank you to you for reaching out and supporting the first ever conference that we've put on here. We've spoken so much about marketing and how important it is to us, and video marketing, you know, using it in the right way, how to get the most from it, which is what you spoke to and was very well received, I will say as well. It's critical to people that want to grow a business, and so thank you for
Of course. Yeah, I think it's the key in order to, I don't know, bridge the gap.
Yeah.
Worldwide. I wouldn't know who you were if you weren't doing video.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Exactly. So start doing video, guys. And if you have any questions for Jake or Foxy Home Staging, make sure you put them down below. We're always checking comments, and we're more than happy to answer anything you have.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Foxy Property Chat podcast. I hope you enjoyed that, but a little bit different, where Tori turned the tables and interviewed Jake. So yeah, we'll be back in a couple, well, I don't know when we'll be back for our next episode, truth be told. I'm sure we'll be back soon, probably with more of the Business of Home Staging podcast Jake and I have been doing, but we do aim to include some more interviews. Like, I want Jake and Phoebe, probably Jake, will be out hopefully interviewing real estate agents, thought leaders in the industry, obviously other home staging companies as well. So I keep putting pressure on him to jump in and organize those interviews. If you wanna hear those, maybe send us a message somewhere and just say, Jake, come on, mate, pull the finger out, get to work. So yeah, we'll see how we go. Anyway, thanks for listening.